Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I still stay excited because tonight is like the other nights that we are continuing our study, more especially this particular study in the book of Proverbs. And we know what the book of Proverbs brings. It brings terse information of wisdom that Solomon wrote for us. And, of course, Solomon is considered by the world as the wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets or Bible apps or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or even inquire if you like. The host has set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to, as I always do, I think it's customary because I'm receiving information and comments from some of you out there listening, and I appreciate those comments. That feedback for the show is giving me advice and teaching me how to conduct this program accordingly. And I thank you, my precious brothers and sisters, and please ask you to continue to do that because I am using the information that you're sending in to me. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? We know that Christ, God said through King David, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. That's taken from Psalms 65, verse 4. And the blessing is that God has chose each and every one of us individually to do his will. And if we are focused on doing his will be successful and we will be rewarded accordingly. God said again through King Solomon this time. That was through King David. This time it's through King Solomon. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. For whosoever findeth me findeth life and shall obtain the favor of the Lord. That's taken from Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34 and 35. Now, again, the blessing is that if you seek God, you will find God and will receive life for that search. God says again, and this is through King David, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the works of his own hands. His galleons, meaning meditation on it. And that's taken from Psalms 9, verse 16. And this is telling us that the blessing is that God will judge you accordingly, and that judgment will be executed according to the way that you react to his obedience. And that is key for us. Those that act correctly will be rewarded accordingly. And that is something that we should all be striving to do, my precious brothers and sisters, obeying the laws of God. So the question is, again, this hour, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we get started, I want to tell you that the Bible is written in mysteries, or it's written in codes. And that's another thing that is very significant for you to know, I think, that you just can't pick it up and read it casually and understand it. You have to be able to rightfully divide the word of truth, as Paul teaches us. So the code is mysteries, secrets, parables, prophecies, proverbs, paradoxes, riddles, symbols. There are a variety of disguises, you might say, that is placed in the writing of the Bible itself that causes us to take a closer look. And that's the intent, for us to take a closer look. So the only way you can break this code is through study and learning, and that's what we're about tonight, study and learning together. So let's do that. Let's go to the study. Now we are going to turn your Bible sources with me to Proverbs chapter 17. We're going to look at verse 5 in Proverbs chapter 17. And when in the book of Proverbs, usually the instruction and the verse, the scripture texts are identical. And in this instance, that's the same. So this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind. And, of course, it is identical to the scripture itself. So the scripture says, "Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished." That is so significant, my brothers and sisters, that we just cannot run around saying, ha, ha, for those who are less fortunate than we and go unpunished. And this is how Job put it, or this is how it was put in the book of Job. If you turn with me, your Bible sources, to Job chapter 42, listen to what happened to Job's cohorts because they did just that. Job chapter 42, verse 1 says this, "Then Job answered the Lord and said," and verse 6 through 9 completes the thought, "Wherefore I abhorred myself," Job said, "and repent in dust and ashes." And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord God said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the things that are right, as my servant Job hath." So what they did was mock Job, and they reproached him for what he was suffering for, and it was incorrect, and God punished him for that, or he would have. But listen to what he said to them in verse 8. "Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the things which is right, like my servant Job." So what this is saying is what Solomon reflects, that you cannot laugh at those who are less fortunate than you and go unpunished. Now we're going to go to our New Testament compliment. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew. And this is how Jesus puts it. We're going to go to Matthew, and I see that we're at our first break. So let's take that break, and then we'll come back and complete the lesson. Thank you.
Hey, John Maxwell here. Today's Word on Minute with Maxwell is grace. It truly is one of my very favorite words. When you think of the word grace, if there's another adjective attached to it, it's the word amazing. And the reason we talk about amazing grace is because grace is amazing. Now, I'm a person of faith, and so when I think of grace, I think about forgiveness. I think of having space in my life to be able, through God's care and grace and kindness, to overcome and to be forgiven. What I would encourage you to do is not only be grateful for the grace that you and I receive, the blessings that we receive in life, but I would encourage you to become a grace giver. Maybe the best thing that I could ever do for you or that you could do for someone else is to extend grace to them, to forgive them, to give them another chance, to turn the other cheek, to walk the second mile. I think that there is probably no higher calling than for us to be grace givers to others. And I know this for myself. There have been times I've really messed up. And what I needed more than anything else was not correction. What I didn't need is a lecture. I just needed somebody to say, it's okay. You're forgiven. Let's move on. So today I would encourage you to take this word grace that is truly amazing and extend it to someone else. Make a call that perhaps you haven't made for a while, or get into a conversation perhaps that you haven't had for a while, and extend grace. I will promise you, when you are a grace giver, you experience for yourself personally an abundance of grace. I promise you that. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's complete this particular instruction. It is, whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth himself, or reproacheth the maker. And he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. And so we already heard what happened in the book of Job concerning that. Now let's go to our comparison and agreement, New Testimony, and see how Jesus put it in chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 23. Listen how Jesus put it, and this is significant for us to note. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So right there and immediately we're telling or are told to be careful how we respond to others, more especially those less fortunate than us. And listen to what verse 23 completes the thought saying, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So Jesus is saying that you will not go unpunished for being unruly and not showing loving kindness towards your fellow man. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually, my brothers and sisters, that we must be very careful with judgment. If the action requires punishment, okay, but don't be happy about it. And we know that when Paul explains to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about love, he says that love, meaning God love, does not rejoice in inequity. So even though there could be reasons for the harsh judgment, still we cannot rejoice and think that you deserved what you got because of what you did. You got to be very careful in judgment. That's what I want you to understand and take from this particular instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Proverbs. Chapter 17, we're going to look at another verse, Proverbs chapter 17, and we're going to look at verse 8. And like I previously said, this is going to be identical, the instruction and the verse reading itself. And this is what the verse says. A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whither so much it turneth, it prospereth. And that is something that we should understand is talking about a gift from God, not a gift from man, not a gift from the world, but it's a gift from man. That's the key. And this is how 2 Kings verse 1, 13 through 15 amplifies this. It says, and he sent again a captain of the 50, which with his 50. I give you some background. This is where the king Hazariah, he sent some folks to Elijah to get an answer for him. And Elijah had the first group of delegates destroyed, and he did up to the third group of 50. And so this is how this particular captain approached Elijah so he would not be destroyed. And this is what he said again, verse 13. And he said again, a captain of the 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And so that's telling us that this gift that this captain received through Elijah from God, that he wasn't destroyed, was precious. And that's key. And that's what I'm trying to emphasize. In fact, when we go to our New Testament complement, we're going to go to Galatians. Turn with me to Galatians. And we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And as I said, this is talking in spiritual terms. This is so significant, my precious brothers and sisters, because this is the precious gifts that God is giving us to let us know that we are doing his will and that we should relish these. And this is how Paul gives them to us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. This is what Paul says to the Galatians, and this is meaningful to all of us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. My precious brothers and sisters, even though these are identified as fruits of the Spirit, these are the precious stones that are in the eyes of us who receive it. That is how we measure our worth with God, as I understand it. If you are glorifying God, Jesus says in John chapter 15, ye shall bear much fruit. Maybe it's John chapter 14. Ye shall bear much fruit. And also in chapter 15 of John, Jesus says that you and me, he's a vine and we are the branches. And if we are not connected to the vine, we will not bear the fruit. And we can do no bearing of fruit without Jesus Christ. So that is key. And so now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must differentiate physical gifts from spiritual gifts. The physical is only temporary. The spiritual is everlasting. Those are the precious stones in the eyes of him who receives it that Solomon is talking about. And that is what I'm trying to relate to you, my precious brothers and sisters. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to chapter 17 of Proverbs. We're going to look at another instruction. Scripture verse number 11 and the instruction, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. This is something that we must understand as not godly. When we are trying to not get mad, get even, you might say, you know, a tooth for a tooth, eye for an eye. We got to be very careful with that, because that is hinging upon evil. And the way we know is because we want to retaliate. We want to rebel because of that. And this is what the scripture says. Proverbs 17, verse 11. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. God is a loving God, and God is a judgmental God, and God is a righteous God. We have to understand that we must treat one another as we would have one another treat each other, and that is to love one another. And with that love, there is forgiveness and repentance, and we must understand that when dishing out punishment, and that is so critical to note. Now, we want to see how it's amplified in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Let's go there and see how King Solomon also identified this attribute. In chapter 8, and I see we're at the next break. Let's take that break, and then we'll complete the lesson.
What is hope? It means to have a sense of expectation that God's answer is coming based on what the promises of God happen to be in the Word of God. Now listen to this. Hoping is not wishing. I'm going to say that again. Hoping is not wishing. Wishing is based on nothing but emotion and feeling. Wishing has no chance of becoming reality because it's not based on substance. But the law of God is substance. Our hope is based in what the Word of God has said about the thing for which you are praying. God's law for controlling your future and achieving your dreams is accomplished in these four words, hope thou in God. The solutions of our national crisis is not coming from Washington. I hear people now in this election time saying, oh, I hope Washington gets it right this time. Well, don't get your hopes up. The answer is not coming from Washington. The solution for America is coming from God Almighty. Hope is God's gift to the believer. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13:13, now abideth faith, hope, and love. Three things that God wants every believer to have. St. Paul writes in Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace so that you may overflow with hope. God doesn't want you to have just a little dab of hope. God wants you to have hope that's like a river that literally washes the pain and the sorrow out of your life and brings you joy unspeakable that's full of glory. The first recorded promise in the Bible is that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. It is a word of hope from God the Father that Satan is a defeated foe. And Jesus Christ fulfilled that promise at the cross of Calvary. Satan has no power over you. He has no influence over you. He has no claim over you. He has no authority over you. Not over your family, not over your future, not over your health, not over your finances. Because he has been defeated and he is still defeated. The last promise recorded by Jesus, Revelation 22:20, I am coming soon. It's a word of hope for the 21st century church that when you see these signs, lift up your heads and rejoice. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for. I love that verse. Listen to it again. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for. Why? Because it's based on the Word of God. What God has done in the past, we can be sure that He's going to do it again.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on this instruction that says, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. And we've already read the scripture text, and now we are amplifying it in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11 through 13. Listen, and this explains why we are subjected to the influence of that. Solomon says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily by the Lord God Almighty, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to continue to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall his life be prolonged in his days, which are as a shadow, because he fears not before God. My brothers and sisters, this is telling us that an evil man is only going to continue to do evil as long as he can, because God has not immediately cast punishment upon him. And that tells us that we should not be in that frame of mind, because the end result, regardless of how long it takes, will be devastating. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that Solomon said, evil only begets evil. And that old saying again, don't get mad and just get even, is an example of that. So we know that we have to be very careful about evil thoughts and getting even with our adversary. In fact, we know that Jesus said in the New Testament, which we're going to the New Testament now, and we're going to turn with me, if you will, to the New Testament. We're going to take into account first what Paul had to say. Paul, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 and 34, this is what Paul says about this evil-seeking rebellion. Be not deceived, my brothers and sisters, Paul says. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So we know that, again, evil communications corrupt good manners. And as I said previously, that what did Jesus tell us? Jesus told us that we should love our enemies, bless those who curse us, do good to those who hate us, and pray for those who despitefully and do good or bad against us. We have to remember that, my brothers and sisters, that we are to be about loving kindness and forgiveness. That is what Christians should do. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. And that's the key. All right, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 70. Turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 17 again. We're going to look at another verse, verse 15 out of Proverbs chapter 17. And this is what it says. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. So those are instances, and this is what King Solomon is saying, that God hates. God hates the justification of the wicked that condemneth the just, all right, are abominations of the Lord. And this is why we're going to go and look at the law. We're going to see how it was put in Leviticus chapter 19. Turn your Bible sources with me to Leviticus chapter 19. And this is what Leviticus says in verse 1 and 2, listen, my brothers and sisters, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. So that's telling us we are supposed to be like God. And what God commands, we're supposed to learn and apply. And then in verse 11 through 16 gives us some of those commandments. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And ye shall not swear by your name falsely, neither shall thou profane the name of the Lord thy God, for I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him the wages of him that is hired, shall not abide with thee all night until morning. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear the Lord thy God. I am the Lord. Ye shall not do unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shall thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy neighbor or thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. The reason I read all these, my precious brothers and sisters, is because it is significant to note that these things are in the law. And, of course, there are more than what Solomon just said in that particular verse. But we know all of these things are hated by God. They are all abominations. And that is what we should take from this. Now let's go to Romans. We're going to go to our New Testament complement. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and listen to how Paul puts it in Romans chapter 1 concerning these abominations. Listen to how Paul put it in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of man who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What is that telling us? The wrath of God. He hates this. And then he goes and gives you a litany of things that are identified, and these are some. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperings, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasterers, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. And this is the key. Who knowing the judgment of God, meaning those who do those things, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We're at the third break. Let's take that break. Then we'll come back and complete the instruction.
Who am I? Am I what I do? An artist? An accountant? A teacher? A mother? Or am I what I've achieved? An honor student? An MVP? A winner? Am I the things I've done right? Or am I defined by the things I've done wrong? Am I a saint? A sinner? What about what others think of me? Am I all of these things? None of these things? Who am I? How I identify myself determines how I approach life. If I am what I do, I'll always need to do more and achieve more to find my value. If I am what others say, I'll always try to please people instead of my Heavenly Father. But if I listen to who God says I am and embrace His identity in me, I'll find the freedom to live out all He has planned for me. God calls me His child, He says, I am wise and restored, that I'm a brand new creation in Christ. I am chosen and holy and blameless before God. He calls me his masterpiece. I am loved by God. He says I am made complete through the grace and mercy of Jesus, my Savior. And when I see myself the way God sees me, I walk with confidence because I trust the one who answers the question, who am I?
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to complete this particular instruction. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that committeth or condemneth the just, are an abomination of God. So we can see how Paul put it. He gave us at least 15 areas that are abomination of God for today, and we can see what happens with the wicked. They know, again, verse 32 completes the thought, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So we got to be very careful. And this is what my thought is on this, what I'm trying to relate to you spiritually. Remember what Apostle Paul says, as we just reviewed it, bad company corrupts good manners. That is going to get us in trouble. And then, of course, Solomon said evil begets evil. So we must be very careful in trying to justify bad behavior. And we should not be justifying bad behavior, but that is what we see today in our world. Be careful of that, my precious brothers and sisters. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to back to chapter 17 of Proverbs, and we're going to be looking at verse 19 this time in Proverbs chapter 17, and we're going to look at verse 19. And this is what the verse says, and it's identical to the instruction. It says, he loveth transgression that loveth strife. And he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? He that loves transgression, you can't be too aggressive. He that loveth transgression loveth strife, meaning they go hand in hand. You got to be very careful in that instance. And he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. He that puts himself in front of others, you've got to be careful. You're asking for trouble. And this is what Psalms 37 has to say about that. We're going to go to Psalms 37, and we're going to see how King Solomon identified it in Psalms 37, verse 32 through 38. Listen to what Solomon said, what David said, telling Israel, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. That tells you right there that, you know, destruction is going to come with those that put themselves in front of others. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his ways. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Now, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yet I sought him, but he could not be found. So the Lord is going to take care of those. They will be destroyed, those who are wicked. And that is why we must be very careful about being in the company, especially in a mob, because you know mob psychology rules. And usually what happens is like what happened with Jesus when he was in the praetorium and the crowd there were asked, who should we receive or who shall Pilate let go? And he said, Jesus or Barabbas, and the high priest rallied the people and had everyone say Barabbas, and you see what happened. And even those who were sentimental toward Jesus were in that crowd and got caught up in it. That's what happens to you, my brothers and sisters. In fact, let's go to our New Testament compliment. We're going to go to Luke, you know, chapter 16, Luke chapter 16, and we're going to look at verse 13 and verse 15 and listen to what Jesus has to say about it. And that is so critical for us today because it is telling us exactly how we should conduct ourselves. Jesus says, look, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. My brothers and sisters, you either are serving Christ or you're serving man or you're serving the world. And that is unacceptable for God. And listen to what Jesus says the end result is. And he says it in verse 15. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. All right? That's exactly what we were talked about previously about the justification to do evil. There is no acceptance in God's eyes for justification to do evil. This is what Jesus continued to say. But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. My precious brothers and sisters, you need to know that. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. We have to be very careful, my brothers and sisters. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. And it is, we're going to now go to the next instruction. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 17. Turn with me again to Proverbs chapter 17. And we're going to look at verse 22 in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. And I'm going to again tell you that the verse is identical to the instruction. So let's read the verse. And this is what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So this is telling us that those who are in obedience with God, who are happy in the Lord, shall be that merry heart that is given like medicine. And this is what Proverbs chapter 8 can even reinforce that. This is what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32 through 36 about that. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32 through 36. Listen to what Solomon said. How therefore, hearken unto me. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for happy or blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Happy or blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain the favor of the Lord. But he that sin against me wrong his own soul. All they that hate me love death. My precious brothers and sisters, that's the medicine that Solomon is talking about. And in this instance, he's talking about the wisdom of God. And, of course, anything that is godly is medicine to the soul. Remember that Jesus Christ says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. So we can say that Solomon is telling us that the wisdom of God is the medicine that we should seek, because the wisdom of man, the wisdom of the world, as he put it in this verse 22, is it dries up the bones. And here we're going to go to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to get another understanding of that. In Romans chapter 8, let's look at what Paul said to the Romans concerning this, verse 4 through 8. This is what Paul says. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in them and in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. This is the medicine that we need, spiritual. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Do you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? So we have to be spiritually minded. That is the medicine that we long for, and that does not dry up the bones. It's the physical medicine that is not going to last. I see we're at the last break of the evening. Let's take that break, and we'll come back and complete this.
Many Christian students ask me the question, how can you know God's will for your life? Many non-Christian students ask the same question. To know and to follow the will of God has been the heart's desire of people down through the ages. David said, teach me to do thy will. The Bible teaches that God has a plan for every life, and that if we live in constant fellowship with him, he will direct us and lead us into the fulfillment of this plan. God does not reveal his will through fortune tellers or soothsayers or workers of hocus pocus. His will is made known to those who have trusted Christ for salvation. He shares this secret only with those who are redeemed and transformed by Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that there are several ways outlined in Scripture through which we can discern and know the will of God. First, one of the ways we can discover the will of God is from the Bible. A will is null and void if it is not in writing. That is what the word testament means. You've often wondered what Old Testament and New Testament mean. The word testament actually means will. In the New Testament, we have a new will that God has put in writing. It has endured for centuries. It has never been revoked. It is still valid today. If you want to know the will of God, set aside a special time every day to read the Bible. Read it prayerfully. Read it regularly. Read it and meditate on it, and it will guide you into his blessed will. God never leads contrary to the written word. Secondly, the will of God is revealed through the Holy Spirit using the Scriptures. When Christ ascended into glory, he sent the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to live in the hearts of his disciples. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Thirdly, the will of God can be revealed through a transformed conscience. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, says Paul. When one is converted to Jesus Christ, his conscience becomes resensitized by the Holy Spirit. This is what the Bible means when it says, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. Fourthly, the will of God is revealed through circumstances. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So many of us ask God to change the circumstances to suit our own desires, rather than conforming our wills to his will. God has a plan for the life of every Christian. Every circumstance, every turning of destiny is for your good. It is working together for completeness. His plan for you is being perfected. All things are working together for your good and for his glory. Don't let circumstances distress you. Rather, look for the will of God to be revealed in and through them. There may be distress, sickness, bereavement, or unhappiness in your life. Look in that bereavement. Look in that sickness. Look in that persecution and tribulation for the will of God. Because God is building and perfecting and patterning your life after that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus had to suffer. So God allows his children to suffer that they might come to the full maturity in Christ. Fifthly, the will of God is revealed through prayer. Prayer puts us in the proper attitude to discern and to know the will of God. It is important for you to get away with God in prayer every day. It is there, in the quiet place, away from the din and confusion of the world, that God makes his will known. We are admonished to seek out the will of God. In Ephesians 5:17 we read, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now hundreds listening to my voice at this moment who are outside the will of God. You were made for fellowship with God. God has a wonderful blueprint for your life, and he's patiently waiting to put it into operation. But something has gone wrong. Your air castles have crumpled before your eyes. Your hopes have been shattered. You do not know God's plan as yet because you are unwilling to submit to him. You have not heeded the command of Christ to repent of your sins. In his eyes, you are perishing. But it is not God's will that any should perish. It is not God's will that you should live under the crushing weight of sin. It is not God's will that you suffer defeat after defeat. Christ says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Dare to open the door of your heart and let God perform that miracle of patterning your life according to the blueprint which was drawn in heaven long ago.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to complete this instruction. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And of course, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the knowledge of good and evil controls the workings of the flesh, the spirit, and therein lies. Happy is he that has the knowledge of everlasting life. That is where the merry heart resides. I want you to understand that we're operating from two different knowledges that were exposed in the Garden of Eden. There was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there was the tree of everlasting life. And we know that the tree of everlasting life is a knowledge, because when we are in John chapter 17 in that gospel, Jesus tells us that God has given him power over all flesh in heaven and in earth to give eternal life to as many as he wills to give to. And that life eternal or eternal life is to know God as the only true God and to know Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And of course, we add to receive and know the Holy Ghost. And we understand that the knowing is the knowledge. So that is why I consider everlasting life a knowledge. And so if you have the knowledge of good and evil only, then you are going to have your bones, as Solomon said, dry up and die. If you have the knowledge of everlasting life, you will live forever. And that's something that we need to know, and that's what is I want you to understand from this particular instruction. Well, let's go to instruction, the next instruction. We're going to go back to Proverbs chapter 17, and we're going to look at verse 23 in Proverbs chapter 17. And, of course, the instruction is exactly as it is written in the verse, and this is what the verse says. A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the way of judgment. And we know how significant this is to the extent that in the laws of Moses, we are told that we should not receive gifts because gifts pervert the way of the wise, and it also perverts the way of the righteous. And so that is a reason why it was commanded that we should not receive gifts. And we know that that is how mammon, if you will, is spread. That's through money, and the gifts of money sways and dissuades everyone. And so now this is how in the New Testament compares and agrees. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 4 and listen to how Jesus identified this, and we can understand that a wicked man taketh a gift out of his bosom to pervert the ways of the just. And listen to the experience that Jesus had in the garden with that occurrence. It is with the devil trying to dissuade Jesus. Listen to what it says. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And then verse 8 through 10 gives us the concluding thought in this. This is how Jesus, or I'll read the rest. This is exactly what happened. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and sitteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. But Jesus said unto him, It is written also, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So again the devil taketh him up to the exceedingly high mountain, shows him all of the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him thou shalt serve. And then it says, Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. So this is telling us that these gifts were to mislead and to distract and to destroy. And this is why we have to be very careful how we respond according to them. All right? So now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. Beware of what people are giving you and for what reason. That is so critical, my precious brothers and sisters, that we understand that. Just beware and make sure that when you receive a gift, you're receiving it in the name of the Lord. All right, let's go to the last instructions for this evening. We're going to go back to Proverbs chapter 17, and we're going to look at verse 28 in Proverbs chapter 17. And, of course, this is the instruction I want you to pay attention to as I read the verse to you. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. And so that's the scripture reading, and it says, a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. That is so important to know, my brothers and sisters, that if you do not know, you do not just have to answer involuntarily to what is being said. And this is how John or James puts it, comparing and agreeing. We're in James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Listen to what James says. James says, Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So we have to be very particular and careful. And that is what this is telling us. And it should mean this spiritually in our lives, that when you consider what you are going to say before you say it, you must consider that. And it will help with a better choice and a better answer and a wiser answer. In fact, I suggest that you always take into mind that the Spirit within you should guide you in all truth, and that's what should lead your answer. And with that, my brothers and sisters, we're going to conclude our lesson tonight. And before we leave, I would like to say that the host and I would like to thank you and bless you again for your participation tonight and your continued encouragement. Good night.
Thank you for choosing Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, the IBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Goodbye.